listening to the Colorado Springs Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by the Envision Advisors at Your Castle Real Estate.
What's up, everyone? In today's podcast, we're doing a deal analysis where Jenny Bayless walks us through one of her new rental properties she purchased in Colorado Springs. And to sum it up, this one's all about location, location, location. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Chris?
Doing really good. So tell us about the property and where it's located.
So this is by far the best located property that I've probably ever bought in my life. It's right in the center of downtown, right across the street from the new soccer stadium that they built. It's really close to Denver Biscuit Company. It's, you know, probably within 100 meters, diagonal right or left of a new apartment building that, one is already in existence and one currently has the cranes out for it. So, you know, I'm just really banking on this one to kind of move with the growth that we've been seeing in downtown Colorado Springs. And, if a developer wants to buy me out along the way, I'd be willing to hear them out on that. So,
and this is, I think, always a great thing to talk about. You know, we talk about all the improvements you can do a property, but location is the one thing you can't change. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, we're seeing in the market, prices keep going up, interest rates keep going up, cap rates, cash on cash are going down. It brings up, hey, we're seeing low returns across the board. And I think this is a more emphasis to put your money into a really good location on properties because it's a great hedge against inflation. It's a great long-term investment. And end of the day, location, location, location is what drives a lot of real estate. So Jenny, walk us through the details on this property. Because I've got Joe's spreadsheet pulled up here. I've got most numbers plugged in here. So you guys can watch on YouTube. Of course, go to the blog post for all the exact numbers that you want to see. But Jenny's going to walk us through the numbers. So tell us about the purchase of this, Jenny, and what the purchase price was.
Yeah, and I did just want to mention that this is property number 10 for us. And, you know, I think we've been disciplined students of buying not, on a hedge, buying super solid properties. So I kind of see this as a little treat to ourselves for having a more fun located property, come property number 10. So just, I wouldn't really recommend it for your very first property. I think it's good to be cushioned by some other ones, but yeah, so it's just shy of 1,000 square feet. It's a little house, 2-bed, 1-bath, on a little postage stamp size lot. I mean, extremely small lot. And it was actually built in 1997. So that's kind of weird, just being where it's at. It used to be like some old industrial building and it was converted to built into a house in 1997. So, that was also very attractive to me, the fact that it's a, fairly new property. That's 25 years old. I'll take that for a property since a lot of mine are much older than that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah. Normally don't see those newer properties in like those, the older downtown locations.
Yeah. Unless they're like, a scrape and build like luxury type.
Oh yeah.
Which this is not either. So it's just kind of a weird little find, but I'm very happy with it. It was listed at $350 and I was able to get it for $360, which I was really surprised about. I put in a $10,000 appraisal gap, beat out a couple of cash offers because I think the reason why I was able to beat them out, and this might be secret sauce, but I just simply asked the listing agent what the seller needed. She was an older lady that lived there. She needed time to find a new home. She didn't want to live downtown anymore. So I said, well, I can give her 2 months to find a new home. So I gave her a free rent back for 2 months. And yeah, so they went with our offer from that.
Great. So under contract at $360,000, mm-hmm. and or closed at $360,000. I noticed you've got some seller credits in here of about $10,000 and some initial repair costs about $30,000. So yeah. That tells me there's some work on the property. Walk us through that and your business plan for the property, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot going on. This was kind of a complicated transaction. So I'm glad it was for myself, so I could only have pressure on myself, right? For this. So, you know, I put in a $10,000 appraisal gap. It did not appraise for the 360, which I pretty much assumed because it needed some help. So it appraised at, I think, 353 or 354. I can't remember. So brought the difference. So that's why the down payment is a little wonky, 26 point, you know, something percent. Seller credits, I rebated my commission to myself. So that was kind of, you know, some leeway there. And in terms of inspection, I did not object to anything with the exception of the fact that the roof was completely destroyed and a lot of the siding was as well, which this one had vinyl siding on, which, you know, from the East Coast, that is very typical, but in Colorado, that's very atypical because of hail and it's, you know, just really susceptible to hail damage. So she was able to file an insurance claim. I can't even remember what we did at this point, but I think I threw in, you know, some of my commission or something to help cover the deductible for her just to kind of, you know, get that taken care of. So we were able to get roof and, you know, some replacement siding taken care of via the seller in terms of CapEx. And then initial repair costs, it was a lot more work than I thought, which I'm sure everyone who listens to us, you know, should probably think that I should have learned my lesson by now, because I pretty much always say, oh, it costs a lot more than I thought. So yep, once again, costs a lot more than I thought. And this is really just cosmetic stuff. It does include a full bathroom renovation. There was a, you know, the paneling surround for the tub. It was just completely shot. Yeah, the whole bathroom needed some help. And like a big chunk of that cost was in painting. Because you know, the person who lived there before had very, very deep hues on all over, like I'm talking light switches, panels, everything got painted like dark purple, dark blue. There was some, you know, interesting artwork that was hung that kind of destroyed the drywall. So there's a lot of work that had to go into getting it to a bright neutral paint color. And then I also had the cabinets painted out. They were, you know, they were like 90s colored. It was like a pinkish honey oak. So we got those. They're in really good shape. So we just painted them like a dark gray just to modernize them. But yeah, just that and like landscaping. There's a lot of lawn ornaments and everything, and just cleaned all those out, put it all mulch. With, you know, the overall plan of just hoping it broke even as a long-term rental. That was really what the plan is. Just hoping for it to break even and just kind of seeing how that area kind of converts over the next couple of years.
Yeah, because I mean, this is really like a location appreciation development play. Mm-hmm. You know, is the big pop there. Otherwise, hey, rents will increase, you make good money. But this is, in my mind, an appreciation development play, right?
100%. Yeah.
And so going down to, you know, you put in about 26% in change with the appraisal gap. So all in with a down payment, appraisal gap, repair cost, about $125,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good chunk of change here, $125,000. Yeah. Your interest rate, though, is at 3.375%. So this tells me closing the property before January 1st.
Yeah, I closed middle of November. And we're in middle of March now, and we're just done. So it has been a long process to get this thing up and running.
And we're recording this in the middle of March. So that's been about 4 months from close to just rehab and get it rent ready, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. A lot of mortgage payments that didn't get to be absorbed by rent. So.
All right. So the interest is at 3.375. Once we're done with this, we'll come back up and plug in today's interest rate to kind of see how that changes the numbers and just play the what if scenario. Mm-hmm. All right. So monthly rent. What are you expecting or getting in rent here?
I'm planning for $1,800 a month, which is very aggressive, in my opinion, for a smaller two-bedroom home. But I'm kind of banking on the fact that a couple things. It's, you know, a detached single-family home in the heart of downtown. And so people that want to live downtown typically, you know, would rent an apartment building. But a lot of people have dogs, so they probably want a nice little backyard. I mean, this is a tiny backyard, but it is a backyard nonetheless. So I think that, you know, is worth something. And I have it pegged against the luxury apartment building, across the street, and that, you know, similar type, you know, size and you know, two bed, one bath type feature, was about $2,200 or $2,300 a month in rent. So I think that makes mine look like a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a pool. I don't have a gym, you know, for my home. So like, I understand that my amenities are lacking, but the location is the same.
All right. So estimate $1,800 a month in rent, normal assumptions here. And I see here you have property management selected to yes. So you are not self-managing this one, Jenny?
Yep. That is correct. All right. I know. I'm converting over to not managing slowly but surely.
All right. So 10% PM, 8% monthly reserves, which might be on the high side after a $30,000 rehab.
I agree.
But always good to budget and put a few bucks away.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes. How are taxes $450 on here?
I have no idea. I don't know if it was a senior exemption type situation.
Oh, yeah.
Or the fact that it's, you know, it is downtown and the lot itself is very, very small. So I don't know. I am, in my head, I'm expecting it to, you know, be about $1,000 in future years once someone comes out and reassesses it. But I'll take it for now.
Yeah, you're right. There might be a good chance for that senior exemption if that's what carried over before.
Yeah.
All right. So $500 in taxes, probably more like $1,000, but we'll leave it at $450. Your insurance is just over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Utilities, landscaping, snow removal, all done or paid for by the tenant, right?
Yes.
All right. So moving to the cash flow tab here on Joe Massey's spreadsheet. To recap this, $360 purchase price, all in for about $126. Total gross annual rent is about $21,600. Subtract out vacancy and expenses, and we're about a $15,000 net operating income minus about $14,000 in overall mortgage payments, leaves you about $1,000 a year in cash flow, which is a 0.8% cash on cash return and a 3.9% cap rate. So first off, at a 3.9% cap rate, I'm really surprised that's cash flowing.
Yeah, I think it's
great news.
My interest rate is so low.
Yeah, but then your interest rate is so low. So I'm sure that will change when we play that minute. But I mean, I get these lower numbers here. Like, I get to play on location.
Mm-hmm.
So these numbers look great to me because of the location. And so that's really good context. We're often not talking about properties in a 3.9% cap rate range. We're talking about, hey, that might be time when you start refining or selling, but you're buying here, but goes back to what we described. It's location and it's the play you're doing to business plan here. This is not meant to be a cash flow heavy traditional rental. This is meant to be an appreciation development play in a great location in the Springs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is by far on paper the worst performing asset we have in our portfolio. You know, by far. But hey, if I can, you know, sell it for a good chunk of money in the next couple of years, that will probably make it the best, you know, the best return. Yeah. We just have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yes. Yeah, so keep your eyes on the podcast. We think it's like 2 to 5 years to see what Jenny does with it. But even though these lower number,
I was going to say, if I'm no longer on the podcast, you'll know that I did really well on it.
But overall, even though we're seeing a low cap rate for the buy side here, you know, looking at that first year return on investment quadrant, we're still estimating like a low 21% or a lower 20%-ish overall return on your money, which is still a very good return on money of 21%. Like, that's still a great return on your money. So even though it's low cash, low cap rate, you should still be making 20% on your money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just debt pay down at that low of an interest rate, I mean, that's going to add up pretty quickly, I think. So,
all right. So here's what I'm dying to do. I want to go back to the interest rate and change this. We're at 3 3/8 last year. We're like 4.5 right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
We're going to change this 4.5.
Or what do you put in there?
4.5.
Okay.
For this week.
So yeah. 4.5 interest rate. Now what that does is cap rate stays exactly the same, 3.9%. But now cash flow from about a positive $1,000 to a negative $1,000. So cash on cash went to a negative 0.8%. Now, if you're buying this today, 5 months later, you know, same price, but just higher interest rate, Jenny, would that, what's that, $2,000 in cash flow swing, would that make a difference for you?
No, not at all. I mean, that's like one water heater.
Yeah. And looking at the overall return on investment, I think we said like a 21.5%. Mm-hmm. Dropping that down went to basically a 19.1%. So still a very great return on your money. And this property and these types of plays will make you and other investors a lot of wealth, or they should, you know, historically speaking. But you're going to have to ride, you know, pretty low cash flow. And whether it's a negative $1,000 or positive $1,000 for the year, that's all break even in my mind, because you said that's a water heater 1 year or not. Like, that's just depends on what breaks that year, what you have to do.
Yeah. And I mean, negative $100 a month on this property to own, you know, in this location with my other properties that I have. I mean, I don't even, it's not like I'm personally writing a check, you know, of $100 a month. My other properties are absorbing, in that case. So it's, yeah, once you scale up a little bit, it becomes less significant.
So Jenny, I mean, this is a great plan or a great play in terms of this property and your portfolio in general. What's next?
So we bought this in November. We also just recorded a podcast on single family home that we bought in February. And I bought a fourplex in February as well. So I'm done probably for a little while. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. You know, we have 15 units now. So I'm just going to kind of like enjoy everything and just kind of see where things are at the end of the year and how much energy I have left after that.
Great. Well, congrats on the great property, Jenny. We appreciate you showing this on the podcast. And, you know, this is one of the things that you bring to the table, is that you're a very active investor yourself. You have your finger on the pulse in the market in both Springs and Denver. You know this very well. So if anyone out there has questions on investing in Springs or Pueblo or wants to invest, please reach out. You can always email Jenny or go to the website, denverinvestmentrealestate.com. Click on the investment consultation link, fill out the form, and you'll get in touch with us, and the right person can help you out. So Jenny, thank you so much. And listeners out there, thank you. Have a great one.
Thanks, Chris.